Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host, and I want to talk about original sin today and the condition of the human heart. I began yesterday to talk about this. If you didn't have a chance to tune into yesterday's program, you could go to our website at renewalministries.net. The programs are all archived there. Listen to them on your computer or download them and put them on whatever device works for you. So I began by reading the words of Jesus from Mark's gospel, where it's one of the moments in chapter 7 in the gospel of Mark where Jesus speaks very startling and sober, almost shocking words about the condition of the human heart, that there's something deep within the human heart that's defiled. The debate was over among the Jewish leaders who were present, even the apostles. The issue of dietary laws among the Jewish people was if they ate certain foods by command of God, that they would be defiled. And so Jesus was after the heart of the matter and helping them understand why he came and why the Messiah had to come. He's coming to deal with the sin problem. The sin problem's at the core of human beings. It's not something outside us. It's not something outside that happens to us on occasion. There's something deep and fundamentally wounded within us. The church calls it original sin. We inherit the sin-sick condition of our forefathers, of our first parents, Adam and Eve. And today we're living at a time in our society where, as a consequence fundamentally of denying God, I don't know which comes first, but as the society becomes more secularized, fewer and fewer people believe the biblical worldview, Jesus' account of the human person, you might say Jesus' anthropology, Jesus' understanding of what the human person is, the fundamental condition that we're all living in and born into, and the battles that we fight as a result of it. Jesus knows us perfectly. As I mentioned last week on the program from Colossians, we were made by him and made for him. And he knows what we're made for, and he knows how far we've fallen from what we're made for. And he knows we can't get back to our fundamental identity on our own and reach our great and elevated destiny that we were created for without his help, precisely because of the condition of our hearts. And I read from the Catechism yesterday, I want to encourage you to take up some of these chapters from the Catechism. It is so rich and deep in its understanding and explaining, really, using Scripture and explaining what Scripture reveals to us about the human condition. Again, I just want to read one of the paragraphs from paragraph 397. Man tempted by the devil let his trust in his creator die in his heart. Why does sin come out of the human heart? Because something's died in the human heart. What has died in the human heart? Trust in God. Can God be trusted? If I follow him, will it lead to a positive outcome? If I give my life to him and really entrust myself to him, what is it going to mean for me practically on a daily basis? Is it going to take away the things I want out of life? Is it going to interfere with my pursuit of my own pleasure, my own dreams, my own ideas? Is it going to require too much of me? Is it going to take all the fun out of life? I don't know if I can trust it. I don't want to go there. I feel safer with everything in my hands, with me in the driver's seat. That's the result of original sin. It's living a lie. It's believing a lie about God, that somehow God is not trustworthy and that God is not good or that God is not great. He's not capable of helping us reach that end for which we're made. And so we decide whether we consciously sit down and write it out this way. Most of us don't. But because of the sin-sick condition of our heart, because the presence of a world that has become in many ways a kind of structure of sin and has structures of sin or sinful structures, however you want to put that, that also wage war and tempt us to live in that deception, to live in that illusion and that deception about God. And then, of course, the devil who manipulates the world. So I want to read some more from the Catechism to just offer it to you to chew on, because it's very important for us to see the truth about the human heart. As I ended yesterday's program, one of the things that society has now come to believe, wouldn't use the terminology of original sin, but society in so many ways no longer accepts that the fundamental source of our disorder, our chaos, our rivalries, our wars, our lying, our cheating, our stealing, the breaking apart of family life, the confusion about human identity, that it actually begins in the human heart. More and more people today believe, which really kind of is a Gnostic lie that reemerges again and again, kind of a progressive neo-Gnostic idea that the problem is outside of me. There's nothing wrong with me. And so everything that's going on inside me, the steady desires, the passions that are within me, are things that tell me who I am. And it's only the world outside me that says some of this, some of these desires in me are wrong, some of these ideas about who I am are wrong, and I need to push that away because the problems in the world don't come with me. The problems in my world, to the degree that I have them, are the result of outside forces, political structures, bad economies, political parties, Democrats, Republicans, whatever. These are the people who cause all the problems. The problems don't begin with me. And my life, my great adventure, is simply to pay attention to the drives and the desires that are in me that I should totally trust because it's my truth. It's my authentic self. And I should live that and surrender to it and follow it. So I want to read a little more from the Catechism that'll help shape a little bit more what's being said. Paragraph 399, Scripture portrays the tragic consequences of this first disobedience. Adam and Eve immediately lose the grace of original holiness. They become afraid of God, of whom they have conceived a distorted image, that of a God jealous of his prerogatives. Right? That's what the devil led them into, that he's going to withhold things because he doesn't want to share. He doesn't want them to find out their own greatness. He wants to keep them subject to him, all of that. Paragraph 400, the harmony in which they had found themselves, thanks to original justice, that is being in right relationship with God, is now destroyed. The control of the soul's spiritual faculties over the body is shattered. The union of man and woman becomes subject to tensions. Their relations henceforth are marked by lust and domination. Don't we see that today? Here we are going through this whole experience of watching Hollywood and political leaders be exposed for these very things. For what? For lust and domination. And of course, everybody wants to stand up and say, well, it's not me, and it's those bad people over there. And we should do something about those bad people over there who are doing this. Yeah, something should happen. They should face the music. They should repent of their sins. Because guess what? The first offended party is not even the woman who's deeply offended and needs to be repented to, and reparation needs to be made toward her. But the chiefly offended party is God himself, because God's son or daughter, sometimes women do these things too, is living in a way that radically opposes God's will for their life. God didn't create them to be dominated by lust and to use their sexual powers to dominate and control others. Paragraph 400 goes on. It says, harmony with creation is broken. Visible creation has become alien and hostile to man. Because of man, creation is now subject to its bondage to decay. So we've affected the world around us. God's good creation has been affected. Not only have we been affected, but we affect, because we're the crown of that creation, meant to lead it, meant to steward it, meant to live in harmony in it. But the disorder in our hearts has an impact on what we produce in this world and how we orient ourselves to it and to those who are in it. Finally, the consequence explicitly foretold for this disobedience will come true. Man will return to the ground. For out of it he was taken. Death makes its entrance into human history through this sin. So death becomes an enemy of man that dominates. And think of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. It's through the devil enslaves the human race through the fear of death, of dying, of being diminished. It's a shadow that's cast over us. Paragraph 401, after that first sin, the world is virtually inundated by sin. There is Cain's murder of his brother Abel and the universal corruption which follows in the wake of sin. Likewise, sin frequently manifests itself in the history of Israel, especially as infidelity to the God of the covenant and as transgression of the law of Moses. And after Christ's atonement, sin raises its head in countless ways among Christians. Scripture and the church's tradition continually recall the presence and universality of sin in man's history. People are struggling to understand what is going on with the deconstruction of human identity today in society. 65 or 75 genders, the affirmation of all kinds of different sexual behaviors as moral goods. A man can declare he's a woman can declare he's a man, a person can declare they're both at the same time. I mean, it's fundamentally irrational. But what's at the root of it, one of the things that's fundamentally at the root of it, is the denial of original sin. Say, I will assert who I am and what I am, and everybody must accept it. Because there can't be something fundamentally wrong with me. It's impossible. I've willed it, therefore it is good. It's exactly, God willed his creation. What did God say? It is good. We are good in the sense that we're made by God, for God, in his image. But each one of us, as original sin reminds us, have fallen, and we've participated in what our forefathers, what Adam and Eve began, we've been deeply affected by. It affects our mind, it affects our capacity to understand who we are and to live in God's purpose and plan for us. And it's foolish, it's the height of foolishness for human beings to have no caution about their own deepest drives and desires and the decisions they want to make from their heart. To live as if there's nothing in me that's fallen or disordered or just something that I shouldn't trust, but that I should look to my Creator for help and for grace to help me understand who I am, why I'm here, where I find the freedom that I so desire. Something is wrong. People perceive that something's wrong, but it's very important to make the right diagnosis. And the diagnosis is not something out there, forces out there are what's wrong. But the sin and defilement and brokenness begins here in my own heart. And here's paragraph 401 goes on. It says, what revelation, that is the scripture, makes known to us is confirmed by our own experience. For when man looks into his own heart, he finds that he is drawn towards what is wrong and sunk in many evils which cannot come from his good Creator. Often refusing to acknowledge God as his source, man has also upset the relationship which should link him to his last and final end. And at the same time, he has broken the right order that should reign within himself as well as between himself and other men and all creatures. The rejection of this understanding of the human condition as the real ground of all of our deep feelings of pain and isolation and fear that dominate us. The solution is not just to listen to my own heart at this level, which often means for us the passions and desires and the drives that I consistently have, but it's to humbly turn to God, our Creator, and pray with St. Francis and say, God, who are you and who am I? Help me, Lord. Friends, let's do just that. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Light in the Darkness. We're living in difficult, unsettling, and even dark times. We're engaged in a spiritual battle that is intensifying. I wrote this short booklet to help you understand the nature of the battle we're facing and help you lay hold of God's abundant grace for you in these challenging times. If you'd like a free copy of my new booklet, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or contact us on the web at renewalministries.net.